Have you, like me, watched the news broadcast that shows images of people in a country we know very little about? Who are showing a level of commitment to freedom that speaks of our heritage as well. I want to talk to you about commitment. I want you to think about the level of commitment we see on display, the commitment to life, a life of liberty, in this case, social, political liberty, and willing to lose their lives to preserve it. As you know, Satan and his work has come to fruition in the form of war. Many have suffered in the past, they are suffering currently and will suffer because the kingdom of darkness is in its death throes. Even though it has been defeated at the cross, the powers of darkness in that kingdom want to take down all of those created in the image of God because it hates God and it hates the children of light as well as those that are children of light, children of God in the kingdom of his beloved son. And in that war, people die, physical death. But those that are his go on to live. They have begun life in Christ and continue to live, even though separated from their physical selves. And when we observe what is taking place, unexpected death. Merlin was taken from us unexpectedly. He was not necessarily ill. He was sitting there at his desk where he always sits. He came down for breakfast. He went back to his room. And he was just sitting where he always sits on his computer or drawing his paintings or reading the magazines about racehorses. I'm not sure which one he was doing. And he just perished. People die. You and I will find ourselves separated from our physical bodies. And we observe how it happens in a violent way as the corruptions of the past, the corruptions in this world of the present, are taking their payment on human life. 2,000 years ago, a Jewish peasant was born in obscurity. As an adult, he was baptized along with many others, began a ministry traveling around the country of his origin, becoming well known as a teacher, an evangelist even, a proclaimer, a miracle worker. And within a short time, he began to speak openly about the current national leadership and the corruption that it was embroiled in. He began to speak of a new kingdom, the kingdom of God. He made very subtle and not so subtle claims about his own divinity, his own right to becoming the heir, gathering these organized and rather disorganized followers into a new and a powerful movement. We know the story well, and it threatened those who held a high religious position around him. It threatened those who had national leadership. It threatened the corruption of Satan. And so in jealousy, These national leaders, both public, political, and religious, conspired against him and put him to death. And he willingly accepted their penalty of crucifixion as an act of obedience to God, his Father. Would you say that Jesus was committed? Would you say that Jesus was committed to his cause? Yes, praise God, that he was committed. There are many good causes that deserve committed people who will take up a challenge and work and serve within them. And at times it's needful. It's right to act on immediate needs, to find commitments, to find things that we must commit to, sometimes temporarily. And then there are other demands, perhaps, and attentions that we may work and serve in, but not wholeheartedly. They have part of our attention. And there are things that we could serve in that we might describe as having our full commitment. And that's life. And then there are things in our lives that capture our attentions. They even capture our hearts, our passions. And we drive towards them. We pursue them with devotion and with a false sense of hope that they will find, or within them we will find, fulfillment. And they can take a lot of different forms. They take on a sense of importance and priority in our lives. We could call them distractions. But we find ourselves sometimes committed to a hobby, to a substance, to a cause, to a group, to many different things, hoping to find the fulfillment, knowing, if we're a child of God, knowing that those things are perishing with the using. And if we find ourselves seeking purpose and fulfillment in them, it will end in disappointment. What we are committed to is what I want us to think about. Because the power of commitment is that it focuses our energies. When we're committed to something, to do without it is not an option. To not have it, it is barely understandable. And so we pursue it with a passion and a commitment to obtain, to participate. We make it our primary source of fulfillment. So the danger of commitment is that you could be committed to the wrong things. The Bible's full of examples of people who were committed, some to the right things and some to wrong things. And so this morning, I simply ask you to consider personally, where are your commitments? We could think about this as a body of Christ here, a local part of the body of Christ. What are we committed to? What are we committed to? Where, if any, are my overcommitments to the wrong things? I feel at times like, as I said this morning, like the chief sinner in becoming overcommitted, committed to other things. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I think we can get so watered down with so many also important things that we lose track of what really matters. Part of the human condition. I think it's true that sometimes our commitments to other things begin to run our lives rather than God and His will and purposes for us. And I just hope that we take a moment, perhaps to recenter, to consider what we have made the most important. Some of us spend our times jumping from commitment to commitment, so hoping that somehow that in the end, we will have accomplished something worthwhile. Or that somewhere along the way, we'll finally find something. The thing that really we are cut out for, that thing that is it, that really toots our horn, so to speak, really keeps us engaged. The truth is that you can run to the end and not find it. The Bible tells us this: O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not for man that walks to direct his own steps. We need guidance. We need encouragement. We need a place of centering where our devotion and where to make our commitments and where those things belong. I don't know about you, but do you want to look back in life and see a string of activities that smack of insignificance, wasted efforts, time not spent? Well, sometimes what seems so valuable in the moment, it seems like a waste of time later on. I have a saying. I don't like the saying.
Power off.
But the saying goes something like this: 90% of what I do is a waste of time. It's the 10% that really has an effect. I think about that. Maybe I need to change what I'm doing that 90% of the time. Amen? If that's true. To be more effective. Now, sometimes, and it's true, if you think about it, the people that we know and that we hold up as pillars of faith, we know far less than 10% of their time was spent making a difference. But that 10% or less made all the difference. The Bible is full of examples. People who were committed, some to right things, some to wrong things. Jesus is the prime example. Have you decided to follow Jesus? If you've decided to follow Jesus, then you know that that's one of the reasons we take a moment here to gather. We gather for Bible study, to know His word. We gather for the worship time, right? Because we've decided to follow Jesus, we pray, we read the scriptures, we seek to listen to the voice of God and pursue His will in our lives, both individually and collectively. And we need examples in it. And we look for examples of how to do it and who to follow, when to do it. We need these models to live by. So we find them in scriptures. We also find them in fellowship with one another. A commitment, an important commitment in the New Testament, is fellowship with fellow followers of Christ. fellow followers of Christ, to share our lives with, our new life with, our both current material life, and to draw with together and from our time together the life eternal. Should a Sunday go by that you don't look around and realize, wow, I'm going to spend an eternity with these people. They deserve my commitment in the here and now. Unless you see that as unimportant, of course. Simply, we need to constantly build our relationship with Christ, with one another, seeking to win others to Christ. Does that seem like the thing that we should be committed to fully commit to his kingdom? Maybe it's oversimplification. Is it possible to overcommit to God? It's not, is it? Is it possible to overcommit to other things? It is. This time of year, good time in the spring. Don't you love spring? I love spring. It's a good time to kind of reevaluate, prioritize various matters in my life and in our lives, to bring everything that we involved, to bring it under the light of God's word and his will, to examine it in that light, seek his guidance, seek his direction. You know, before I came here, I had never, to my recollection, had any kind of an active role in funerals. Remember any time at all? Can't. Did I say anything at all at a funeral? Even a family member? No, they didn't let me talk. But now that I have done it many times, I hope and pray that it can be said that I live my life according to my commitments, based on the priorities that the scripture tells us, that I loved God, that I loved his family, and I was focused on bringing others into relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's not complex, is it? So maybe those three, above all else, very clear and simple, is that perhaps if anyone knows me, they would see that that is who I was at my funeral. I don't want people to have to lie at my funeral, do you? But I've heard it a lot. Some of the most outlandish lies I hear is at funerals. Jesus' words about what we commit to are pretty amazing. And to say that they are strong about what to commit to is an understatement. Jesus' words as the words of life that continue on all of these years will continue until heaven and earth pass away. In Matthew 6:19-24, he asks this question. Verse 21, where your treasures are, there your heart is also. what's important to you is revealed. It is revealed. Where is your focus? What do you dream about? What do you feast your eyes on? What do you spend your time and your resources with? And then verse 24. Who is your master? You can only have one master. You can't serve two. Who is your master? What controls your life? Jesus guides them and us into commitment that will never leave us sorry that we kept it. Jesus' words guide us into a commitment that we will never be sorry that we kept it. You may be sorry you didn't keep your commitment to some things, but never your commitment to Christ. You believe Jesus will take care of you? He says in that text, that was Sermon on the Mount, that he will. Does he take care of the birds of the field? Does he clothe the flowers? The grass. The amazing principle in the promises of God's Son, for those who take him at his word and accept the challenge of living under eternal principles and priorities, Matthew 6, verse 33. You might want to turn there. For the Gentiles eagerly seek after these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all those things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. We talked about that this morning. Isn't that really what we talked about? Maybe in the first thing we do in the day is to seek first his righteousness and his kingdom. Knowing that we may go throughout the day fulfilling some obligations and also important things. Knowing that we sought first his kingdom. So maybe our issue is simple. Will we follow Jesus' words about commitment? Will we follow his will for us, his desires for us, his desire for us and for our hearts? Or are we going to continue to look for fulfillment elsewhere if we are doing that? Jesus gives this admonition and warning. Whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rains came, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat upon that house, but it stood firm because it was built on a rock. But whoever hears these words of mine, does not put them into practice, is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains came, the streams rose. The winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So where is your commitment? Where is my commitment? That's in view. If you have wandered away from the Lord, and the discussion or an observation or this little talk about commitment has challenged you and made you realize how far away you've got from him, The good news is he'll have you back. He will hurriedly take you back and welcome you home. And not on condition, but wholeheartedly. What about as a congregation? Are we serving the purposes? The simple purposes of loving God and loving one another. And serving those that we need to bring to Christ. It's also possible that there are those in our midst who have put off a full commitment to him ever. You have never put him on in baptism, been washed clean, made white as snow, to walk in fellowship with God through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and had life, and had life. Whatever the case, what you do next is between you and the Lord, and it will affect the lives all around you. It will affect the lives all around you. I invite you to reconsider any commitments you've made, to recommit where recommitment is needed. I invite you to stand and sing the song as we consider these things. Thank you.